You know, there might be a lot of uncertainty within the market trade, but one thing we know, Planning Intentions Report is coming out. You're listening to the American Ag Network, and good afternoon. I'm Susan Littlefield. Jim McCormick's joining us today with AgMarket.net, and that's exactly where we're going to start. You guys released some numbers today in regards to what we might see in that Planning Intentions Report.
We did. We are seeing a little bit of adjustment from last year, Susan. We're looking for our official company estimate is corn acres are going to come in at 94.4 million acres, a slight uptick from the USDA outlook form, which is at 94. Bean acres at 86.1. The USDA outlook form was at 85. And that is a pretty good rebound from a year ago when bean acres were in at 81.2. So a little bit less corn acres, definitely a little bit more bean acres going into 2026 is our official guess at the moment.
So looking at, and I know there's a lot of variabilities that could weigh into this, including, you know, the inputs with fertilizer, with everything that's happening in the world. Do you see the potential, Jim, for a pullback on those corn acres and a leaning towards maybe more soybeans?
Well, I think that really is the major debate. I mean, like I said, we're at 94.4. I'll be honest with you, Susan, up to the war, plain and simple, in the Middle East, I was thinking we'd be somewhere around 95 to 96 million acres. So I do think you're definitely getting a little bit of adjustment away from these acres, especially in more of the marginal ground and maybe where some farmers did not get their fertilizer pre-purchase. There's no doubt about it. With this massive spike in energy that's flowing into the cost of just putting, you know, diesel, but really the cost of fertilizer, it is definitely getting some producers to rethink it. Now, it could change dramatically. And I want to stress this, Susan, that this is a farmer survey of what he's thinking about right now. And even when the government's numbers were collected, they were collected some data a couple weeks ago. And that number will shift. A year ago, they came out with one number. By the time we got from the March number to the final certified acres, after all the data was collected from, you know, the insurance companies, that number had increased a little, 3.5 million, I believe, from March to the final number. So this isn't, I'm going to stress, isn't the final number. It's more of a beginning point that we got to, you know, that is more of the jumping off than the final, so people know.
What is your takeaway then about energy and the continued roller coaster these prices have been on?
Well, I mean, it's definitely had some of an impact on the psychology of it. Like I said, we are looking for a little less corn acreage number. I don't think you're going to get a massive abandonment of corn acres because of the high fertilizer cost, Susan. A lot of the producers put it on in the fall. A lot of producers, if they didn't put it on in the fall, did get it pre-priced. Remember just how we market grain in the United States. We sell grain in the fall. We generate revenue. And then what do we do as an industry to essentially offset some of that revenue? And for tax purposes, we tend to come in to have a business expense to lower that revenue, you know, that tax charge. And what are the two things producers do year in, year out? They prepay seed, and a lot of them buy fertilizer or prepay fertilizer as a way to offset that income. So a lot of that fertilizer, I believe, has been booked. Where the real question is for the producer, I think, is going to be what happens in the latter part of summer into the fall, and then for Southern Hemisphere, if for some reason this war is continuing to drag on. Now, I don't believe that's going to happen, Susan. The reality is the world cannot function on $4 to $5 unleaded gas. It can't function on $5 plus diesel. It will put the world into, I fear, a recession at a minimum. It could be a depression. The prices went high enough. So I think there's going to be a lot of pressure to get a deal done, to find an off-ramp and de-escalate what's going on relatively quick. And if you look at the markets right now, the energy market's under quite a bit of pressure because compared to where we were going home for the weekend, it does feel like we are talking, at least according to President Trump, with the Iranians. And maybe, just maybe, we're getting closer to an off-ramp.
What about this weather? You and I were talking off air about how dry it is, for example, in parts of pretty much all of Nebraska, Kansas, while the East is getting some precipitation. What are you guys hearing there at Ag Market?
That is exactly what we're hearing. I mean, if you look at the 6 to 10 day forecast, above normal temperatures, above normal rainfall, the 8 to 14 day above normal temperatures, above normal rainfall, the 3 to 4 week outlook that came out last week says above normal temperatures, and maybe normal precip in the west, where you're in Nebraska west and north and North Dakota, but above normal precip in the east. The real question is this rain going to happen? Because like you said, there's a lot of fires in the what's going on in the west. We do need those spring rains. The other thing I think people are a little bit concerned about just playing armchair quarterback is just how dang gone warm it was this weekend. I know you were telling you're out in Kearney, it was triple digit temperatures. I know talking to some relatives of mine, southern Indiana, we're seeing temperatures in the low 90s. So you're seeing temperatures that you normally see 4th of July weekend. Instead, you're seeing the first weekend of March Madness. It kind of makes you wonder, just as a human, what does this mean for the summer temperatures? I don't know if there's any correlation out there, Susan. You probably need to talk to a weather guy to get that correlation. But it does make you wonder how this summer is going to line up, because right now it feels like it's definitely going to be an early fall. And, early spring. And a lot of people remember we had a very early spring in 2012, and we know what happened there. So something we need to watch.
And finally, as we wrap up our conversation, it just seems like a simple social media post, you and I have had this conversation before, can definitely change the trajectory of what we see in these markets.
No doubt about it. I mean, it is the world we're living in right now. The programs, the AI programs, they react even faster. They are reacting to tweets that President Trump puts out, but they're also reacting to tweets and press releases that the Iranians are putting out. So you are seeing some major whipsaw action in the energy markets, $12, $15 trading ranges. You're seeing, $150, $200 trading ranges in the metals, and that's bleeding into the ag market as well. So, buckle up. It's probably going to get more volatile before it gets less volatile, would be my guess.
All right, Jim McCormick joining us today with AgMarket.net. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That's the Monday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.